Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Welcome, Michelle Valentine, future mom-to-be, to the show. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for inviting me back.
Yes, absolutely. Very happy to have you here. Now, you've got some exciting news to share with the world about baby Valentine. Why don't you tell us all about it?
Yeah, so baby is almost ready to come out of the shell. She is 4 weeks till our due date, so March 10th is the date that they gave us. And I'm starting to understand why a lot of the moms are like, the last month is a thing, because I have been getting insomnia lately, and usually I sleep straight throughout the night. I've been like getting my legs are numb, and things are starting to hurt a lot more than they have been throughout the whole pregnancy. So it's expected. I mean, I've been up in the middle of the night, like Googling articles, like, is this normal? and it seems to be normal according to Google. So we're on the right track, but yeah, feeling good, but feeling sore.
What's your favorite part about being pregnant?
I think it's this idea of accepting a new you. And I think for me, it's obviously your body's changing, your hormones are going crazy. Like, it's all a lot of newness. And so for me, it's really learning to accept things and changes that are out of your control. And so I think for me, that's been like a huge learning throughout this process. And it's been cool to feel like little flutter kicks, and I'm always grabbing your
hand. She's a strong kicker.
She's going to be a fighter for sure. I'm always grabbing your hand, and I'm always like, look, oh my goodness, look. And like, it's like her foot or her arm is like rippling, and it's just, it's wild. Pregnancy is wild. Like, people can tell you about it, but until you experience it, you're like, I'm growing a mini human. Oh. That's something.
What's been the biggest obstacle that you've overcome on this journey, and how did you do it?
With pregnancy?
Yeah.
Obstacle. So maybe like the whole moving to Mexico thing.
Well, I mean, that's a big obstacle. Yeah.
So we are Canadian, and we decided back in the fall, November, end of November, to come to Mexico. So we left Canada at the end of October, but we were in the States for a little bit, and then we're like, let's go to Mexico. So that would definitely be an obstacle. I mean, coming to a new country while pregnant, not speaking Spanish, which is what they speak here, has definitely led to a lot of challenges, I guess you can say. Like, it's crazy. Like, for someone who's English speaking, like, we just take that for granted, just like the communication, how we're able to talk and research and just get things done. But for here, it's a little bit more challenging because you need someone to help you. Like, we have someone that can help us translate and someone that can help come with us to appointments and stuff. So that's definitely been an obstacle, but an adventure too, in a way. Like, you know, it's...
Positive attitude has helped you overcome it.
I think so. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've had my days. You've caught me on a good day. But definitely there's some days where I'm like, what is happening?
We'll get to learning Spanish in a second, and even why Mexico in a second. But is there anything else that you want to share, tease people about what you're hoping for with the birth? Maybe even, we haven't even mentioned the name of the baby. You know, anything that you want to share?
Say that one more time.
You know, is there anything else that you want to share about the baby, the birth plan, your dreams, the baby's name?
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the birth for a second here. I've always been someone who's interested in a more natural approach to everything in life. I mean, I worked for a plant-based food company before. I've always looked into healthy alternatives. I see naturopaths, that kind of thing. And I think for me, when I found out I was pregnant, I was like, oh, okay. So there's a couple different ways that you can go about pregnancy, right? You can go kind of more of the traditional doctor route, or you can go more midwives. You can have home births. Like, there's so many options. So I dove really deep into the different options and what felt right for me. And so along this journey, I started off with a midwife in Canada and a doula, which was great. I felt so supported. I felt so powerful, because a lot of the times in pregnancy, there's a lot of choice. And I think that not a lot of people know that, especially if you go through the traditional, just like hospital doctor kind of route. It's like, no, this is what we do at 20 weeks. This is what we do at 25 weeks. But a lot of the times you can question that, and you can question, okay, so now that we have these results, or now that we understand these outcomes, what are we going to do with it? Because sometimes it will just stress you out, and sometimes there's nothing you can do, or sometimes they'll prescribe you antibiotics or whatever. And I always like to know the information so that you can weigh out the risks, so that you know, okay, well, this isn't something that I feel aligned with, or this is something that can wait until after the pregnancy. So kind of like, depending on what route you take, you have a choice. And so that's been really helpful for me to understand, because there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear in pregnancy. There's a lot of fear in the world. I mean, come on. But in pregnancy specifically, it's like, you're so vulnerable because you're in this new position.
Especially the first pregnancy.
The first pregnancy, right. It's like, okay, I'm growing this human. I feel super responsible, and I'm having a professional tell me something, and now I'm challenging it. Like, no, there's no wonder why people just kind of like listen to their doctors, or they put trust in them, which I think is important. And so building a relationship with your birth team has been huge. So long story short, started off with a midwife, ended up with an OBGYN, but I'm now going back to a midwife team that I decided last week in Playa del Carmen, because I feel more aligned with their birthing process. So listening to that good old intuition will get you far.
Yeah, I'm sure it'd be a whole lot easier once we get to the 17th birth.
You wish.
Yeah. We
17 babies, only 16. Come on, I thought we talked about this.
We actually know somebody, a good friend of ours, whose mother had 17 kids. 17 kids, crazy.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah.
17 years of being pregnant.
Yeah, 17 years being pregnant, and man. I'm super, pregnant, no big deal, whatever. Anyways, one other thing is that we watched that movie by Ricky Lake, The Business of Being Born. And that was a eye-opener and pivotal resource for us, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. The more that you can look at both sides of things to create your own idea of what you want your experience to be like, the more helpful it's been. You know, there's so many books out there, and it's really important, I believe, to know who's writing these books, because if you're just reading books from OBGYNs that have been doctors for the last, I don't know, 30 years, things have changed. And it's important to know different types of books and different types of views so that you can feel empowered with your decision or whatever that is.
Were there, you know, you've read many books, you've really been into that one pregnancy podcast. What are some of the reasons?
The pregnancy podcast is great. It's just called The Pregnancy Podcast.
And do you remember her name?
I don't remember her name, but it's like the top rated on Apple, just pregnancy podcast. That's it. And she is a mom, and she basically just dives into all of the research with every topic that you can think of. That's been really great. And that's opened my eyes to so much information and so many things that you just don't even think of. Ina May has been another really, and she was the one midwife who was in the documentary.
Yeah. So she was in The Business of Being Born. And then do you remember the name of her book that you're reading?
Yeah, it's just her name.
Oh, Ina May.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ina May. And it's like something about like midwifery or something like that. But it's just, yeah, Ina May, if you type in her name, you'll find the book.
Yeah. And then we also found What to Expect When You're Expecting to be relatively helpful.
Yeah, I mean, What to Expect When You're Expecting is great. It's kind of like the Bible of birth, right? It kind of just like, it just goes through every single thing that you can think of and different stages. But like anything, like no one's experience is going to look the same. So it's important to just understand that these are benchmarks. These are just things that, you know, are what to expect, but they don't always happen. So not saying, oh, well, this didn't happen to me, you know, in my second trimester, that's fine. You know, but it's good to just have that knowledge.
Yeah. And so we, you know, we ask a lot of our friends who have had babies in the last year, asking their experiences. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people listening are wondering, well, did you have morning sickness in the first thing? Did you have cravings? Anything you want, any information you want to share with people on that?
Yeah. So this is one of those funny things because I feel so guilty saying this because there's so many women who I know and who we know who could only eat like certain things for months. I was good. I didn't Pretty have good. Any morning sickness. For me, it was more so like, oh my goodness, my birthday is March 8th. So I could be having a baby on my birthday. Oh my goodness. Am I ready for this? Like, there's just all of these questions that go on in your own head, just more of the emotional side of things. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a trip, like for me in the first trimester. And of course you're not really showing, but then you feel like you're kind of bloated. So it's just like, it felt kind of confusing, and it's almost like you don't trust the test. Like you want to go back. You're like, oh, is this really going to happen? And then once you started, I think it was like 22 weeks or 23 weeks, I started to kind of get a little pouch. And then I was like, oh, dang, like this is real. And then of course, here we are, and I'm measuring it like a 42 waist. So it's happening.
A nice size baby bump.
A nice size baby bump, as the woman at Costco told me.
Yes, someone just walked up to her and said, you have a, what did she say exactly?
She said that you have a really great size baby bump.
Ah, there you go. So
whatever that's listening. Again, yeah. and that's another confusing thing, because some women really pop and then some women don't really pop at all. And so you're just like, oh, is this normal? And yeah, it's a pregnancy is a mental game.
Yeah.
It's really getting control of your mindset and trusting your intuition.
Yeah. So we were down in Mexico at Costco. And so let's talk about Mexico now. So people, you know, we moved to Cancun, and we moved to Cancun because one of our friends had their baby at a hospital here, recommended it, said it was a great experience, came down here, and people always ask, what the heck is Cancun like? How would you describe Cancun? Is it dangerous?
How would I describe Cancun? Cancun is like how we refer to it is like Miami or Florida, like
not
10
Miami.
Years.
Yeah,
10 okay. years ago. No, not currently.
You're right. Or like Fort Lauderdale or something like that. You got Costco, you got Sam's Club, you got Starbucks everywhere.
Yeah.
But you also have 40 men and women in the back of a pickup truck going to work.
Yeah, or like a baby on a motorcycle with the mom and the dad's driving the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Like three people.
Yeah, you see that?
So how I would describe Cancun is definitely it's not brand new, right? Like you don't have all of the newness like you would in some of the major cities across the world. It's very, it's got a special charm to it.
Definitely
you,
does.
You know, like you have like the Costco, you have Sam's Club, you have like some of the big major stores. And actually there's an area called Puerto Cancun, which is beautiful. If you actually feel like you're in a Miami mall or like somewhere in the States, like mm-hmm, an
definitely.
Outdoor mall.
Yeah.
It's on the marina side. It's got beautiful restaurants. And so there's definitely little pockets of newness. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's Mexico. So the roads aren't like the greatest. They're kind of like
well, the roads aren't the greatest in Florida either.
Well, the roads aren't. I mean, that's debatable everywhere. But yeah. I'm just saying overall, there's it's kind of free range. Like
yeah.
they don't really repaint the lines on the road. So it's like.
That's correct. Yeah.
So it's like you've got maybe two lanes or maybe three. It's just kind
and
of like you gotta go
of,
or you're not gonna go.
Yeah, and different ways of driving. There's so many U-turns. Like instead of
yeah.
traffic lights, they use U-turns. They use some roundabouts, but a lot of U-turns. They call them returnos. And
yeah.
then, you know, everything down here is generally built into a jungle.
Yeah.
So you live in a jungle and they built a city into the jungle essentially. So
yeah, and then the hotel zone, which is maybe you've been to before, it's kind of like a seven, like it's like the number seven. So it's like this very skinny piece of island that goes out and it's just
and
tons and tons of hotels. and beautiful beaches. I mean, we're on the Caribbean. So yeah. You have like that green, like blue turquoisey kind of water. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is absolutely amazing. And our dog is barking. So, but dangerous wise, what do you say when people ask if it's dangerous?
I think that whenever you are looking for problems, they come to you. So if you were like, if you ask yourself, are you going to walk down the street at 2 a.m. in any neighborhood? Like you might feel unsafe, or you kind of start to get to know the areas that might be a little sketchy, right? So I don't feel unsafe here. I've been to many other places in the world where I feel like you got to watch your back. But for here, I don't feel like that. I mean, I think it really depends on where you live, the community that you live in too, right? Like if you live in a gated community, it's more family focused.
If you go to bed 8 o'clock at night, you're pretty safe.
Super early, you avoid all of the craziness. But I think that if you are looking for trouble, if you are going out and you are, you know, losing control of yourself, or you're drinking too much or whatever, there could be bad things that happen to you anywhere in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Cancun is a city of 1 million people, and it is relatively like Florida and safe if you make it safe.
Yeah.
Just like you can probably make Chicago safe, which is a very dangerous city, if you make the right decisions.
Yeah.
With what you do and where you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Learning Spanish. We use Duolingo, and we're about to go do a Duolingo session. What do you love about doing Duolingo? How does it get us hooked?
Duolingo is a great app. I mean, I believe you can learn almost any language on it. So if you're interested in learning another language, check it out and see if they have that language. But they make it a game. It's literally a video game. So it's, you know, they give you points, they give you gems. They, you know, if you make too many mistakes, they lock you out for 35 minutes or whatever it is until you upgrade.
Yeah. They have a leaderboard, they have deadlines, they have like urgency bonuses. They get me hooked pretty quick.
Yeah. So it's really funny because we've been doing it every day. I think we're on 61 days straight right now.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want to lose that streak.
Well, you don't want to lose that streak. You have a competitiveness in you. And you're like, okay, it's time for Duolingo. Okay, it's time for Duolingo. I'm pretty sure if like we didn't do one morning, you'd like, before we went to bed, we'd do Duolingo just to keep the streak going.
We have done one or two evenings where we didn't. I think maybe when we were traveling or something like that.
Or we did it later in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a really great app if you're ever wanting to learn another language. And it makes it fun too, because it's visual. And I'm a very visual learner, and so are you.
Yeah, because Spanish, like we do have Spanish teachers come over as well. And when they speak quickly, we get lost. We're getting lost less, and we're now understanding, you know, our housekeeper and waiters and waitresses and taxi drivers. Like we're actually starting to pick out words and pick out sentences, and you're doing a great job. And we're practicing as hard as we can.
Yeah. I think once you start to learn like the big words, then you can put things together. Like we were learned birthday.
Cumpleaños.
The other day. And then if you know, what was it? Esposo. And esposa is husband and wife. So, I mean, if someone says, you know, esposa, da da da, cumpleaños.
Cumpleaños.
Cumpleaños. You're so good at Spanish. The French that you know.
Yes.
French.
I took French in high school, and French is relatively similar to Spanish. A lot of the words are the same, but I would say the other thing is that if we only did the app, but we didn't try and practice it out, then even for me, like sometimes it's just hard to get it started. But if you go with the intention of speaking it, then it helps.
Yeah. And it's almost like being okay with just looking silly, right? Because everyone has to start somewhere. And so if you just try and use your words, you'll find that if you're in a different country, most people will help you if they can tell that you're struggling and you're trying.
And signals.
Hand signals work really well. Yeah. So definitely give it a try.
And that's actually one other thing we should mention about Mexico is people are really, really nice here.
Yeah.
In our area. Now, we haven't been through the entire country. It's a huge country.
Yeah.
But most of the people we have interacted with are wonderful, nice. We love the family orientation that they have in the country.
Yeah.
And where we live. So that's been really
good. Very warm and welcoming and helpful. I mean, the guy that we have our house that we rented from, he came to the bank with us one day and helped us like get a Mexican bank account set up. And like, he didn't have to do that. He spent half his day driving, you know, 30 minutes to this one bank that he really likes. And so, yeah, definitely people, it's the collective culture. Mm-hmm. You know, if you come from a collective culture, you'll understand it's about helping others and it's about community and it's about family. And it's really obvious here.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's perfect for a little family. So this is like a teaser because we'll be back.
Hey, you didn't ask me your one question.
Well, no, I haven't finished the question. I haven't finished it. But this is a teaser because we got little baby. You haven't mentioned baby's name yet. Do you want to mention baby's name?
Are we agreeing with what we came up with the middle name yesterday?
So here's the thing is our original idea was
L-E-L-L-E, first name, mm-hmm. and then Isabella mm-hmm. for the second name.
Yes. And that was our name that we came up with in Canada, which also works in the United States. People know the name L, and you know, L McPherson, L from the movie Legally Blonde, yeah. L the magazine.
Yeah.
But down in Mexico, L, E-L, means the, it doesn't mean the man, but it's masculine for the. And then when you say like, that's he, and then she is Ella, which is E-L-L-A. And so when we try to explain to people that the daughter's name will be L, Isabella, they just call her Isabella.
Yeah, they just skip the L part.
Yeah. So we're not 100% sure what the baby's name is. We have a couple other ideas of moving Isabella to the first name and some interesting middle names. So when we come back and do the podcast after you have our baby and, you know, it'd be a 3-person podcast with the baby.
Yeah.
3 people and dog. And
security.
Right. Then you'll know the baby's name, but that's tends to be what it'll be. So before we sign off for this episode, why don't you tell some funny Craig Valentine stories?
Oh, that's not what I was going to talk about. What I was going to talk about is the thing that I liked about Mexico and didn't like about Mexico.
Oh, well, okay. Well, there you go. What are the things that you like about Mexico and don't like about Mexico?
Okay, so the things that I like about Mexico. I really, really love the weather here, obviously. I thrive in sunshine. I absolutely love the warm weather. There's also so many things to do and so much to explore.
Yes.
And where we live right now, we live about an hour and 45 minutes from Tulum. Maybe you've heard of Tulum before. It's this like spiritual bohemian kind of culture community mm-hmm. that they've built in the jungle. And the jungle is right on the ocean. And it's absolutely amazing. We've been there a few times now and we really enjoy it. And they're super pet friendly. So we can take Daisy to a lot of the restaurants.
Yeah. Cancun is in a way it's pet friendly, but in a way it's not like America where there's dog parks that people go to, which is probably one of the biggest frustrations I have about being here.
Yeah.
They have good dog, like daycare places,
yeah,
but they don't have like a dog park where people go. Like in Miami, they have great dog parks and Huntington Beach has an amazing dog beach, but
yeah.
We haven't found that here. So that's not a little frustrating.
Yeah, definitely.
But Tulum is much more dog.
Yeah, definitely. And then as far as like dislikes go, I think whenever you, because I was thinking about this, whenever you are in a different country, people tend to say like, oh, they compare it, right? And comparison, I think, is the worst thing that you can do when you are trying to live a new experience. This isn't America. This isn't Canada. And I think that the more adaptable you can be to the culture here, the less frustrated you will be. So, for example, baby shopping, for instance. There's certain brands that we want. There's certain things that we want. There's certain services that, you know, maybe you get done in your home country that they don't have here. Like, for instance, I was looking for someone to do my eyebrows because I like to get eyebrow threading, which is like a type of hair removal for your eyebrows. I couldn't find anyone here to do eyebrow threading. I found someone now, but that took a long time. And instead of having a place on every single block, you know, where you live, there's maybe one or two people in all of the city that will do it. And so you can get yourself really frustrated, I think, when you move somewhere and you're comparing. So I think having open expectations and knowing that things are just different. Another example is the electricity here is done in a way that you turn off the electrical. So once a month, you turn off the electrical in your house. This is the way our house is set up. Might not be the whole country, but you have like a credit card. And so this credit card, you turn off the electrical and it stays off for 1 minute. It measures the electricity. And then you take this card to a pharmacy and then they tell you how much to pay for the month. And I was saying to the guy that owns the house, I was like, really? Like, there's no better way to do this? Like, there's nothing that you can just like auto deposit, like take this off your credit card and you have to pay cash. And so
it's great for the internet.
Yeah. So again, you can get really frustrated with things like this and be like, oh my gosh, like, why can't I just have this auto debited off my card every month? It's so much more convenient. Or you can just be like, this is Mexico, you know, this is Mexico and this is just the way they do things. And maybe, you know, if you look at the bright side of things, maybe there's less error in this system than there could be on, you know, your credit card, postal code or zip code not going through and you spending hours just trying to like figure stuff out on the computer and calling customer service not answering because they're in a different time zone. I mean, everything I think has their challenges. And so it's important to just be open when you are making a transition and know that this is not your home country and they have different protocols and different ways of doing things. And it doesn't necessarily have to be bad. And the only one thing on the dog thing too, going back, is people in our neighborhood and people in my friend's neighborhood who lives pretty close to us, they just let these dogs, like their dogs bark all night long. I'm not kidding. Like, I don't understand how people sleep. I've got these like really great earphones that like
are called Quiet On.
Yeah, Quiet On.
The $300 ear, not earphones, they're earplugs.
Yeah, they're earplugs. And basically they're noise canceling and
they work great.
I've had some of the best sleeps ever.
Yeah. With them.
And you can like still hear dogs yelping. There's this one dog. I named him. His name is Oscar.
It's a girl.
Yeah. Oscar the girl. But Oscar's a tough cookie.
That's good.
So Oscar lives next door. Oscar is about 10 weeks old, we believe. And Oscar just cries. And it just sounds like this bird that's just like yelping. It's not really a bark either because it's such a baby. And one night I spent 3 hours with Oscar outside.
Because Oscar got out.
Oscar was running up and down the street and I didn't want to, well, let's be honest, I was going to say, I don't want to ring the doorbell at 4 a.m. to their house. But I just really
wanted to snuggle him. You want to keep the dog. That's what you want to do.
I know. I
brought him hoping that they wouldn't want the dog back.
Well, and I brought him inside and Daisy was like going crazy, like trying to wrestle. I was like, okay, this isn't cool. This is Daisy's crate.
Yeah, but I think the big message there is when you get into something new, go with the flow, but just don't be so rigid. And that's a good message for me because I tend to be a little rigid sometimes, but don't be rigid and just
comparison and try not to compare
it to back home.
You will have a way better experience if you are considering moving to Mexico, considering moving to a different culture than your own, because things work for the people here.
Yeah, it's their culture. They're not going to change it just for one person.
Right. And you might as well enjoy the experience. And something that I'm really working hard on, I mean, some of the stuff is like easier said than done, of course, when you're living in the moment, you're like, but it's just really trying to laugh. Really just when you're getting stressed out about anything in life, just really trying to give it a good laugh. Because like I said to you, you know, a year from now, we're going to laugh at some of these stories.
Might as well laugh now.
Might as well start the laughter now because it's way more enjoyable.
Speaking of laughter, any funny CB stories you want to share? You can share anything you want.
Any funny CB stories?
Yeah.
So we've been learning about the swaddle.
Yeah. The baby swaddle.
The baby swaddle, which is essentially you wrap your baby really like snug in a blanket and it resembles the baby being inside, not like inside your stomach while you're pregnant. So if you're trying to calm the baby, if you're trying to put the baby to sleep, you do these swaddles and then...
What's the program that, like, it's an amazing course that somebody bought for us.
Yeah, it's called Taking Care of Babies.
Cara, C-A-R-A. Yeah. That's the name of the woman.
Taking Care of Babies.
Yeah, it's awesome.
.com. Yeah. It's so good. It's so well done. And I was just binging it for a few hours one day. I still have a couple more to go, but... Funny CB stories. And so anyways, now that I've been learning about swaddle, I've noticed that Mr. CB likes to get swaddled, but he swaddles himself.
Yes.
In the nighttime. And so we have a king size bed, and I have been doing this thing with like six pillows where
she can't sleep on her back.
I can't sleep on my back, and I'm a back sleeper. And so what I do is I put so many pillows behind my one side so that I can't flip over, because you've woke me up a couple times and I say, hey, flip.
Pregnant women are not supposed to sleep on their backs. That's why. And so it's difficult for Michelle. And so she's setting up all these pillows so that she stays on the side, builds a system.
Yeah, exactly. So then I look over. So last night, for example, I look over and Mr. CB is like in the middle of the bed. And I'm just like on this like little tiny sliver. I have no covers, and he's just like completely swaddled himself with his eye mask on, and his like covers are like up to his nose. And I was just laughing to myself because he looks like a giant man baby.
The thing is, you still get way better sleep than I do.
Oh, well, I'll teach you one day all my tricks.
All right. Teach the baby the tricks, please, so we can all sleep. All right. So we'll be back in a few weeks with another Mama Bee podcast about Baby Bee in Mexico and all good fun stuff. So if you have questions, let us know. Drop them down below. Hit us up on email, supportitearlytorise.com, or hit me up on Instagram at @RealCraigValentine. Follow the journey of a couple Canadians in Mexico. We'll see you soon.